Blog Talk Radio.
Coming alive from the doghouse inside the Mad Dog Dynasty League headquarters in Maguanago, Wisconsin. Fat Guy with a Phone Productions proudly presents another episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast. Woo! Thank you, Frankie. Frankie helping kick the show off. Frankie Valley. The oldies are goodies, dude. Hey. It's me, your host, the commissioner of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast, and the aforementioned fat guy with a phone himself, Rick Goreski. We're here tonight to talk about the 2016 Mad Dog offseason. Before we can do that, I need to add the we to me. So allow me to introduce to you my co-hosts for today's show. At the very least, I'll introduce who's here. First out of the gate. He leads the league in trade offers, and not just because it's August 4th. He's the owner of the Malicious Minds, Tom Buckles. Good to have you with us tonight, Tom. Thanks for coming.
No problem. Pleasure to be here.
We are expecting two other owners to join us tonight. I don't want to ruin the surprise. One of them, I will tip your hand, has been late frequently. And he'll say that I didn't tell him that we were doing this, but it was his idea, so I'm going to give him all kinds of shit for this. But we're killing time until they come aboard, Tom. So help me out here, man. What do you think about today's show?
I think it's pretty great. It's been a little while since we did the rookie draft recaps, rounds 1 through 5. It was an exciting and fun time to do that. And I can't wait to be a part of more of this.
Well, I tell you what, Tom, here's the deal, man. Also joining us in today's podcast, the 2012 league champion, winner of the Dog Bowl 2012, a man who, given his draft picks this year and our topic tonight, he's about to put the defensive and defensive lineman, the owner of the Marauding Minotaurs, Brian Koch. Brian, what's happening, dude?
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
I'm good. I hope you're all right. Tom's on the horn. I'm on the horn. We are waiting for our third guest who, again, I will give him a call right now, live on my cell phone. All right, I will try to find this. Screw it. I'm just going to dial. I'm dialing live on the podcast. This is riveting.
This is beyond riveting.
I'm going to see if it starts ringing. Can you guys hear that? It's the actual ring of the phone call that I'm making.
Hi, this is the phone form, Pally.
Let's leave him a message. Oh. Is this coming out okay?
Yeah, we can hear it.
All right, ready?
Oh, yeah.
Steve! You are up. Next up, he would say, I saved the best for last. But truth be told, the hell with that message, dude. So it was Steve Wellman. He was the surprise third guest. Steve actually was the inspiration to do the show tonight. If he pops on, we'll kick up. But otherwise, we got Tom, we got Brian, we got plenty to get going. So, gentlemen, let's get off to the races. Tonight, we're going to talk about the 2016 offseason. The final deadline is still a week away, and there's a handful of moves yet to be made this year, so it's not a complete wrap-up, but... there's enough there for us to talk about and make some commentary on, including the rookie draft. So let's get the show on the road. What we're going to do is we'll go team by team. We'll start out with the start off with the Blue Division, and we'll talk about the re-signings, taxi moves, cuts, trades, things like that. I'll read off a team, and I'll name the moves that they've done this offseason, including, you know, all the trades and draft choices, et cetera, and we'll talk about how it's impacted that franchise. So, first off, we're going to go with You're in Trouble to lead things off. Side note here to our good friend Brian Frams, owner of You're in Trouble. Talked to him the other day. He's got a little injury going on, might have a little surgery, so he's dealing with that. Our thoughts and prayers going out to Brian for a speedy recovery. No Steve yet, so let's kick it off. I'm going to click on the button here. Last year, You're in Trouble in the Blue Division finished 7-7. He tied for first place, but he lost out on head-to-head tiebreakers. He was 89 points behind you, Tom, the Malicious Minds who won that crown. For this particular season, Brian cut. He had decisions to be made on Brandon Whedon of Houston, who he cut. Tony Romo, he did an early signing on Tony Romo, took advantage of the league's early signing rule, re-signed him on a three-year deal at $7.59 a year. Darren Sproles' contract was up. He would have had to pay him $12.10 a year, so he wisely let him go on a right-of-first refusal. Jared Cook was on Urin's team, and he renewed him 3 years at $4.40 a year. Cut Dennis Pitta. Bailey, the kicker from Dallas, was re-signed at $1.65 a year, only 2 years on the re-signing, so that was kind of interesting to me. Prater, kicker from Detroit, dome kicker, valuable, $1.87 a year. He re-signed him for 2 years. Damian Easley, the defensive lineman out of New England, 50 cents a year on a three-year deal. Dontario Pohl, 55 cents a year on a two-year deal. Then Brian used his transition tag. It's the first transition tag he used this year. He had both tags open, both transition tags. He used it on Cassius Campbell of Arizona, the defensive lineman, $5.16 a year on a two-year deal. Justin Tuck retired. His deal was up, but he retired, so that was, you know, that's a loss on You're in Trouble's roster. Linebacker Jamie Collins of New England was an early signing. He locked him up at $4.40 a year for 3 years. Very wise, because Collins missed some time last year, so his overall stats were down, and You're in Trouble took advantage of that. Taxi Promo, linebacker Malden from New York Jets. Tom, you actually put in a claim on You're in Trouble's taxi squad player, Malden, and You're in Trouble decided to bring him up and give him a two-year deal, 50 cents a year. Khalil Mack, his contract was up. That was You're in Trouble's first pick back in, 2014. And Mack re-signed at $4.99 a year for 3 years. He cut Alden Smith of Oakland and re-signed Telvin Smith of Jacksonville. That guy cost $6.89 a year on a three-year deal. Last but not least, Eric Weddle, defensive back from Baltimore, franchise tag. 4 year in Trouble on him, $4.46 a year on a 2 year deal. That's the signings that You're in Trouble did. You're in Trouble, he also cut Andre Ellington. There's actually a better way for me to get this information for the league. 1 second, here we go. He cut Andre Ellington, Marcus Colston, and Donald Butler. Took cap hits on all three of those guys, cap hits of $4.76. He made one trade during the draft with Ipswich United. He gave up pick 2.7. I think it was either on the clock or right before it was on the clock. Gave that up to Ipswich United for Doug Baldwin, a pick 3.10 this year, and the second-round pick in 2017. So he got a lot for that pick that was on the clock. In the draft, You're in Trouble took Sterling Shepard of the Giants with his first pick. Then he waited all the way to the third round where he took Shaq Lawson. He also took Carson Wentz and Tyler Irvin in the third round. And then in the fourth round, Blake Martinez. And in the fifth round, he took Chris Jones, defensive lineman. So that's You're in Trouble. He also lost Calvin Johnson this year. Calvin retired. Guys, what do you think about the moves that You're in Trouble has made this year?
Tom, why don't you go ahead and start?
Oh, you'd like me to go first. That's fine.
Probably good.
Everybody heard what we had to say about, you know, the draft picks, so we'll leave those alone. He was hampered with, you know, being over the cap at year's end. Things were going on outside of the league. So Calvin was putting him over the cap, so that was the $10 or whatever just sitting out there. So we knew he was going to be off the cap. We weren't worried about that. But,
great point, though. He did start the season. As we moved to the new league year, he was over the cap. That's a great point.
Kind of a little upset that he moved up my guy Lorenzo Molden up from the taxi squad. Figured that he was going to let him go and then thought he was that way, and then he switched it and went back to bringing him up. So, I don't know. Maybe he thinks that I know something more than he did, so just to block me, he would bring him back up, but no big deal. Everybody that I tried to put a claim in for this year, everybody moved them up. My big thing with him is this year is I want to see what happens with the Josh Gordon situation or you know, your Ty Montgomery's and Brashad Perriman's. You know, these are guys that have injuries, and Perriman missed the whole year, almost had an injury issue this year to maybe block him from getting in there again this year. But him and Montgomery could be a key couple pieces, plus Gordon, not to mention Victor Cruz. There's another injury guy. He's got a lot of question mark guys in the wide receiving core that if they turn their things around, that could be a danger. I like that he wrapped up the guys that he needed to wrap up. There's a couple guys I'm sure he'll probably be looking to just dump, but everybody that I see on his squad right now is locked up at least for 1 year with, you know, 50 cents. Some guys are up there that he's got.
Most of the guys are 2 years. Yeah. Most guys
on
his roster are on 2 year deals.
I mean, I see at least about, out of the 41 guys that he's got on his roster, I see about, I'd say about 7-8 guys that are a 1 year deal. So,
for those 41 players, he's got $7.24 left in cap room. So, just throwing that out there. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I mean, what's it going to be with Tom Brady? Is Romo going to be good to go out of the chute? I mean, there's question marks there, but for whatever reason, some way, somehow, he always gives everybody a good run for their money every year. So he's been there every year, you know, battling me out every year. So,
well, Brian, do you want to add some thoughts, and we'll toggle back and forth?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that with you're in trouble that I see is that the whole Calvin Johnson being able to alleviate that $10 cap, you know, just because he retired, was huge for him. Obviously, that ended up paying for him to be able to re-sign from the players that he felt that he wanted to put underneath a three-year contract. Overall, you know, I mean, just looking at his team right now, he has $7 left, and he has to make one move, you know, with one player somewhere. So he has to, you know, obviously make that decision. I'm not really sure which way he is thinking personally, but, I mean, if I were him, I would try to move Tom Brady or something with 1 year left on the contract. He's only going to get, you know, let's see, he's losing 4 games right off the bat with him. So, I mean, if he could find a trade partner for Tom Brady, that would alleviate a little bit of money for him. That'd be awesome. I think that's the way he should go, and then maybe try to ride out Carson Wentz and Tony Romo for the season.
I think he's just waiting for Josh Gordon to get another drug test, and then he'll be back to 40. No. Honestly, guys, I don't know, Tom, if you had some more thoughts, let's toggle back to you, because I think I accidentally interrupted you.
No, like I said, there's a lot of guys with suspensions on his team. Got a bunch of guys with O's already on him. So, realistically, if his team is predicated off his quarterback play, I mean, he's got a great quarterback.
It's a good stable period, Brady and Romo, and then he did a great job. Again, we're talking about how they did in the offseason. Picking up a young player like Wentz to complement the old guys, that's good.
He got him at, what, the third, fourth round, so it was a great pickup to get Wentz where he got him.
No. Yeah, totally kudos to that. I was surprised to see that Wentz went so far down the draft into the third round. I had felt that he was going to be definitely gone by the second.
So now we look at quarterback is set, and he improved himself. Then you look at offensive flex, which we're going to combine running back and wide receiver. He obviously lost Calvin Johnson. That hurts. But he's getting Victor Cruz back from the injury, Josh Gordon back from suspension, and he trades for Doug Baldwin. Keenan Allen, if I'm not mistaken, missed the end of last year. I might be wrong about that, but he's back. So you can see some good things here. You can see some young guys that – like he picked up Langford. That guy's going to get a shot this year. Montgomery is a guy who might have a play. He picked up Sterling Shepard. I think he's improved himself, if only from guys coming back from injury, although losing Calvin Johnson is a big hit. What do you guys think about his running backs and wide receivers?
Basically, looking at the running back position, everybody on the running back slot is basically injured, has been injured. So they're all basically coming back from injury. Jennings got hurt last year. Carlos Hyde got hurt last year. Langford was a rookie last year, so he split time with Kadeem Carey and Matt Forte when Matt Forte went down. Sims, they keep trying to see, might be the parent to go behind, what do they call him, Puffy Chipmunk Mouth or whatever his name is. Super Chipmunk. I don't even know what they call him, but yeah, Doug Martin. So, I mean, Shane Vereen, they're not sure if he's even in the mix there anymore. So the running back core, he's lacking that workhorse type of guy. But with the flex being available like it is, you lean on, then you can go lean on your wide receiving core. The problem there is, again, we talked about it. You got Keenan coming off of an injury. He missed probably six or seven games last year. Victor Cruz missed all the year. Josh Gordon missed the whole year. Ty Montgomery missed probably like 85% of the year. Perriman missed the whole year. And you got Shepard as a rookie, who's possibly, besides Keenan Allen, his best guy on the team.
If Gordon, who are your starters out of those?
What's that?
So pick four. Pick four. If you're a Brian Frams and you're setting your starting
lineup
for week one.
Week one, you have to put Tony Romo in there because of the suspension. Then it's going to be Carlos Hyde, and then go Keenan Allen, Shepard, and probably Baldwin. I mean,
just for the offensive flex. Just on the offensive flex, Brian, who would you start out of Frams' team?
I would think that Carlos Hyde would have a starting shot there in San Francisco, so I would be leaning on him. The wide receiver, Doug Baldwin, Keenan Allen, and Victor Cruz, that's where I would be going with my starting lineup for week one.
See, for the offensive flex for me, if I were him, I would go Keenan Allen and Baldwin for sure. They'd be locked in. If Josh Gordon shows me any kind of life in the preseason, actually he's suspended, isn't he, the first four games?
Yeah.
So he's not going to play. Yeah. So basically, if Shepard shows me something during the preseason, just some kind of life that I can believe he's going to get some playing time, I'll put him in. And then from there, I'd probably go with Langford, unless Hyde's first game is like a really good matchup. He's going to have to play matchups with at least one of those flex plays every week, I think, on offense. At tight end, though, we caught a break because Jared Cook joined the Green Bay Packers and Fleener went to the New Orleans Saints. So he took a tight end crew that had been lacking, not a lot of luster, and suddenly it's polished and it looks good. Suddenly it's the kind of stable that people wish they had. So what do you guys think about the tight ends? I think Fleener would be my play.
Go ahead, Brian.
Go ahead. It's kind of funny to say that because now, we just talked about the flex position. You might be better off putting in Jared Cook or Kobe Fleener in one of those flex positions for offensive until he can really figure out and sort out his true starters.
Great point.
Yeah,
excellent point.
I mean, as long as Jared Cook can get on the page quick enough with Aaron Rodgers and understand the little nuances that, you know, that Aaron Rodgers and, you know, his receivers that he's got a tight-knit connection with already, if he can get on page like with that, he should be the guy to go with. Blainer's going to have another tight end there to, you know, they'd probably be doing two tight end sets. So my problem always with Kobe Fleener was, and I always liked Dwayne Allen more than him, and the Colts decided to do the same thing. The guy could block and he could and be a great possession receiver and guy get down the field on the steam, whereas Fleener could not block. So that's why I figured that he was going to be gone before Dwayne Allen.
So for the third position in a row, I think he improved at quarterback, albeit for the future. By picking up Shepard, he did a great job of helping his offensive flex. At tight end, he caught some breaks with the way guys signed, so that's improved. At kicker, both kickers are very good kickers, so I think either of those guys would be great for the sake of time. I don't want to spend a ton of time on it unless one of you guys are really inspired to talk about his kickers. At defensive line, this is where You're in Trouble took a huge hit because Greg Hardy is on his team signed for $7 a year, and Greg Hardy doesn't even have a team right now. So he's got him locked on a two-year deal, $7 a year. If he cuts him, he's going to take a $7 cap hit. He's just holding on to him right now. His starters are probably Campbell and Dontario Poe, but what do you guys think? I mean, he could use a defensive lineman. Shouldn't have traded you Pierre Paul last year, Brian. You go ahead and start because he traded you Pierre Paul.
You know, I look at his defensive line position, and the Arizona defensive end I really like. You know, but anybody else, I think it's really kind of a crapshoot. You hit the nail on the head when you talked about Greg Hardy. The guy's been lost in space for the last two or three years with the whole thing. It wasn't like domestic violence against his girlfriend or wife or something like that. I mean, it's, you know, he's such a wild card right now. I mean, he can come back and be a real big force, but, you know, you got to find an NFL team that's going to, you know, give him that chance. So, yeah, his defensive line, I'm not overly impressed with.
Tom, what are you thinking about his DL core?
Other than Calais Campbell, I think he's pretty much missing the mark there. I during the draft tried to send him trade offers to give him Richardson for getting into the draft or for the pick in that, you know, in this year's draft, or tried for next year, because I knew, you know, Hardy's got no home. He's signed for big money. That's a guy I would have just took off his hands as a throw-in to take him off of him for the cap hit and then just dumped him. You know, I would have took the $350 cap hit, you know, or the $7 for the 2 years cap hit, just, you know, just to get him off out of there, you know, but just to get him to make that deal or work with me. But yeah, other than Campbell, it's pretty, I mean, Maybe Chris Jones, who knows? Maybe man-child will be something else, you know?
Well, guys, let's move over to the defensive flex. And believe it or not, I just got to do a time check for you. I got to get the premium on this because the free service only gives us a half an hour and you get a 15-minute window, so you get 45 minutes total. Can you guys believe that we've already been doing this for like 25 minutes? I mean, it doesn't even feel like it, right?
We'll
this is ridiculous.
One team every show.
We might have to, seriously, because we start getting teams like Tron and Ipswich and Tom's team. I mean, there's everybody's team. There's so much to talk about. So I unfortunately think we're only going to get one team in on this podcast tonight. But that's okay because it is going to be a quality review. Let's talk about the defensive flex position, where I think You're in Trouble is led by Jamie Collins, is probably his best defensive player, arguably. I know Telvin Smith did very good last year. There's going to be some more competition for tackles in Jacksonville. So he did just sign him to a 3-year deal at $6.89 a year. I wonder if that's a little aggressive. I mean, I know it's a young linebacker, but they did just sign Miles Jack, and they're talking about giving Cyprian more time up closer to the line. So Poslusny is still there. It's just kind of an interesting point that I wanted to make. The rest of his, I mean, he really didn't do a lot to help himself as far as defensive flex goes. I mean, he made re-signings, and he, I guess you can consider franchising Eric Weddle is definitely a move that helped his team. I mean, I guess that's a big play that can be viewed as, you know, helping himself, but he could use some help here at defensive flex. What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Brian.
Oh, thanks, Tom. Yeah, you know, I definitely agree with that. I mean, Vic Beasley, the jury's still out on him. He was the first-round draft pick a few years ago. You know, be interested to see what happens, whether there's a great improvement with him. Maybe you get him into, like, the 200 mark for points per season. You know, Jamie Collins, definitely a solid linebacker. That's his nucleus. Brian Cushing, unfortunately, I think he's kind of on the way out. You know, I don't think that he's going to be around the league too much longer with the injury history that he has, as well as his age. Khalil Mack, love him, you know. I mean, 247 points last year. No wonder why he has him for $5 or $4.99 for 3 years. The rest of his, you know, offensive or defensive flex, Heldon Smith, too many competition for the tackles. You got Dante Flower that came back from injury this year, so he's going to be in the fold. Like you said, you got Paul Paluzzi there. And then there's another linebacker that's there for to steal tackles away. So that one there is going to be a tough call to see whether he can match the 282 points again this year and the next couple of years that he has him under contract.
No, he did, and I didn't give him enough credit. He did pick up Martinez, who is potentially going to get time with the Packers. So that is, you know, one body that he added. But it's not a sure thing that guy is going to get starting snaps.
Yeah, you know, the Packers linebackers, you know, you just never know what you're going to get. You know, you look at A.J. Hawk, he was with the team for 10 seasons, and he was a pretty solid player, but he was never the type of guy to really go over the top with the tackles and make it to the Pro Bowl. So, you know, just kind of looking at the Packers linebackers over the last 10 years, I mean, there's not much really to hang your hat on, with the exception of, boy, what was his name? He went to the Bills a few years ago. Name is on top of my head, but he was an awesome linebacker.
Bryce Pop?
No, that was back.
I mean, you're really going back quite a ways.
No,
Bryce Pop
no.
was an awesome linebacker that went to the Bills.
No. I cannot, for the life of me right now, he was a first-round draft pick. But anyways, he was a linebacker for the Packers for several seasons, probably for about 8 seasons. And needless to say, he finally just kind of cashed in the chips and then went through a free agency, went to Buffalo Bills, and wound up by, you know, obviously disappearing from there. But anyways, you know, you just kind of look at the Packers linebackers. I mean, you know, there's a guy there, I can't even think of what his name was, and, you know, none of them really strike home as far as being anything really that special. So, you know, let's say whether Blake Martinez really hits home or not, it's going to be an interesting call.
Tom, what
me,
do you got on the D?
For me, I'm looking at his offense. He could have, instead of taking Shaq Lawson where he took him, I would have preferred him to taking, you know, some sort of offensive, you know, positional player, whether another receiver with a flex or running back there. Irvin was another guy we were talking about that I would have loved to see him get something different there. The flex, you got Khalil Mack and Collins are basically his guys. Kelvin Smith's going to be battling Miles Jack, Lesney, Fowler. I mean, they spent to get that defense up to speed. So there's a lot of cuttable guys on that team. I mean, Jarvis Jones hasn't even lived up to the potential yet at all. Cushing, I've had them. Too much PEDs in the dude's life. Dude's cracking down little by little. His body, you know, he's hurt every year. So he keeps breaking down year in and year out. I don't know. I like the Malden. So I'd like to see what happens there, because you got DeMario Davis and David Harris are both getting older there. They just picked up Lee for a linebacker, so Lee and Malden could be a nice combination for the future going ahead behind that stout defensive line in the Jets team. Araxo's over with. Really, I'm looking at what Weddle put up. I mean, you can pick up guys on the market, and they're gonna put up the points that, you know, Weddle did, or even better. You know what I'm saying? So there is stuff out there that you can drop off the team and just pick up for nothing during the season.
So
I only see three flex.
I think you said something, Tom.
Yeah, linebacker.
I was
thinking it was Nick Barnett, by the way.
Oh, Barney. Hey, Tom, you mentioned Shaq Lawson. Did you talk about the fact that he's going to be out for a while? I'm sorry,
yeah,
I didn't hear 100% what you said.
That,
I know you talked about it during the rookies.
Yeah, during the rookie draft we brought it up. So, I mean, that also made it another problem, you know. You look at the squad that he's got. He knew he was losing his receiver in Calvin Johnson. You got death of Victor Cruz. Who knows what's going to happen there? I think Shepard's just going to take his position and be over with. You had Perriman, who was out for the whole year, wasn't even sure he was going to play this year. Montgomery hurt. Drug suspension, Gordon. I mean, you should have. He should have spent a lot of his time on fixing that offense. If he wasn't worried about picking up the offense this year, I would have been picking up high-caliber defensive players. Since it was a defensive-heavy draft this year, I would have focused on key high-point guys on defense. If he was going to get linebackers, get the top-end guys. I mean, there were the guys who were there. He didn't take them. He took other pieces instead of them. Like I said, next year's supposed to be the great offensive type of draft, but we'll see what happens, you know. But I think if he was doing it that way, then he should have picked some different type of players this year for defense.
I see five starters for him. He's got Collins, and he's got Cushing. He's got Khalil Mack. He does have Telvin Smith and Eric Weddle. And then he's got Blake Martinez there, who, as long as he gets playing time, that is a guy who's going to factor in and could be his sixth. But he may be looking for, you know, one of his other players to step up, or he may be playing matchups, something of that nature. One thing I wanted to get your comments on, guys, is the fact that if you look at the way Brian has built this team, and specifically the way he's drafted and the players on this team right now, Vic Beasley, outside linebacker, a guy that if they were playing a different defense could be a defensive lineman, came into the league and nobody was really sure which way he was going to flop. Jarvis Jones, outside linebacker, another one of those outside guys. Shaq Lawson, he just drafted him this year, outside guy, right? Khalil Mack, another guy on the outside. You got Shea McKellen, guy on the outside. Brian Arakpo, on the outside. I mean, that's a lot of the outside linebacker type, elephant type guys. Is that a mistake? Has he drafted too many of that style player?
I believe so.
Yeah, having too many of the outside linebackers are going to hurt your team. You know, just using my team as an example, I mean, I got Ryan Kerrigan, who's an outside linebacker, and those linebackers, those outside linebackers, you know, when they're hitting, you know, 20 plus points a game, but when they're off, they're hitting 2, 3, 4 points a game, and it just, you know, can really make or break your game, your single games, you know, your whole season. So having too many of them, there's too many wild cards as far as what they're going to do per week. Look at Clay Matthews. I mean, Pro Bowl player, you know, year in and year out, but, you know, how many points are you getting for the whole season versus the average versus, you know, the reality. So he's you know, those outside linebackers are like throwing darts at a dartboard.
Yeah, and with Clay Matthews, I mean, look at how many games last year he was listed without actually having a tackle. I mean, he went a few weeks there without even registering a single tackle in a game.
Well,
and that was even playing inside.
I do think, a couple things to wrap us up here. We've got about 8.5 minutes left, so there's plenty of time. We don't have to rush. But what do you think of the quality of what is potentially the starting lineup, at least the way you see it? Because maybe Brian would make some different choices than what each of us have you know, looked upon here. I think he's going to be able to field, you know, he's not going to be just dying. He's only got $7.24 left. So for some of the holes that he has on his team, he really doesn't have the wherewithal to go fix that. He can't go in. He's going to have to be very smart. He's going to have to get some value buys, maybe make a trade. He does have the extra second-round pick from a very shrewd trade that he made during the draft this year that helped him a lot. What do you think of his lineup, and what would you do if you were the owner of this team to make it better so that you could compete this year? Start with you, Brian.
I said it earlier in this podcast, trading away Tom Brady. That would give him back $9.90. He can't re-up his contract unless he's going to tag him next year. So what's that going to make him? An extra, you know, $2 or $3 more tech quarterback. And with Brady at the point of where he is at his career, he should try to find a trade partner and try to get a third-round draft pick for him.
Tough to,
you know,
trade the guy,
though.
He's missing four games. In fairness to Brian Frams, it's a value name, but missing four games, not going to get what you should get for him.
Right, right, and that's why I said a third-round draft pick. I mean, I don't even know whether you'll be able to get that out of somebody. You know, but needless to say, that's what I would do. That would be my starting point. Move Tom Brady, maybe even consider Romo, but I think Romo has a few more years left over Tom Brady. You know, but I would definitely be looking to shop him now before the end of those four-game suspensions because, you know, I think too many things can happen between now and four games.
Do you think the lineup can compete as is?
No.
Blue division title.
No.
Okay, Tom, what about your thoughts?
Too strong.
I believe
what do you make of his starting lineup, and go ahead. What would you do to make it better?
I see him already at fourth place in the division, taking a step back this year from where he had been in the past. Starting lineup can feel the team, but my thing is you start looking at what guys you have that have some sort of traction for trade value or whatnot, and you start moving them, sort of doing your little version of a blow-up. Start that rebuild now. Find certain pieces that you know are, you know, maybe, you know, during this offseason before the rookie draft, he could have been playing the hype of Pelvin Smith, you know, hey, this guy just blew up, had such a great year. I know it's going to have to resign, but look at how much he's – look at what he did. They didn't have Miles Jack yet. Kolesny's, you know, there with years up, but he still gets his tackles. You didn't have Jack, like I said, there yet. You were getting Fowler back. I would have looked at trying to move some pieces, and I still would right now. I would try to see what I could get for guys, you know. Is a building block is Keenan Allen, but the injury history there, I mean, he's been in the league the same amount of years as DeAndre Hopkins, and he's been hurt 3 years out of the 5 years he's been in the league. So I try to move something like him to try and get a couple, you know, earlier picks, whether it be a, you know, somebody that you know is going to have a late first round or for sure get that early second round. Keep your defensive guys that you have that are solid. Keep your Jamie Collins. Keep your Calais Campbell, unless you're getting such a nice enough offer to move them, then do it. But I'd be in the blow-up. This would be like a new team coming in the league, you know, and taking over a squad. I'd be like, all right, I got to do whatever I can to put my stamp on this team. I want to rebuild it, and that, I'd be in rebuild space.
Well, I can tell you guys that for my thoughts on his team, I want to remind everybody that he did win his division in 2012 and 2014, and he tied for the lead last year. So this is a team that, at its core, has shown an ability to compete. We haven't reviewed the other teams, but I don't immediately think last place team. I think he does have some challenges. What would I do if I were him? I would actually look for a trade. I would give up on some of the players that have been duds. I would try to clear some cap room. I would trade away an attractive player, or I would scour the wire to find somebody that has a need, and as part of that trade, you know, let's say that I can find somebody that'll take find somebody that would take, you know, he's got two very good tight ends. You know, trade one of those tight ends and even see if you can throw in a guy to get rid of some cap stuff and then go into free agency and get a piece or two that'll help you. Definitely try to get out of that Greg Hardy thing. You might have to take the cap hit, but long story short, I do think he's going to be able to compete, but he's got to make a move or two, and he's got to change his drafting style, at least on defense. He's got to stop acquiring all these outside guys, or at least mix it up. You know, it's just too heavy on the outside. And he definitely needs a starting defensive tackle. Defensive lineman. Doesn't have to be a tackle. But, guys, we have 2.5 minutes left, roughly. And I do want to still ask a question about two questions. So let's get the easy one out of the way. What's your favorite draft pick out of his five picks, or excuse me, 6 picks this year? He had Sterling Shepard, Shaq Lawson, Carson Wentz, Tyler Irvin, Blake Martinez, and Chris Jones. What's your favorite pick? I think mine's favorite Shepard.
Shepard, yes, absolutely.
Don?
I for sure love the Shepard pick, but for where he got him, I think Carson Wentz is possibly going to be his best pick for where
he
got him.
That was my next question, was what's the best value pick that he had? I think Blake Martinez is shaping up to be his best value pick because he might start. What do you think, Brian?
I kind of like the idea with what Tom was saying with Carson Wentz as far as being a value pick. I pictured Wentz going closer to the first end of the first round, second round, but when he got him in the third round, boy, I thought that was kind of a good steal.
And, guys, last question for you. If you were going to grade this team's offseason on a 5-point scale, so you're going to look at the trades, the luck, just overall luck, like having Fleener and Cook sign with really good teams, the draft, moves, as far as cuts, re-signings, taxi promotions, all of it combined, what do you give this team out of 5? Brian?
I would say 3.5. 3.5, 4. I don't think it was – anything that's too eye-popping at this point, but I think that there's enough there to be able to make some competition. And I know that Brian is competitive enough and smart enough to go ahead and be able to turn this team around and be able to make a run for, the top spot in that division. But I don't think he'll finish there. I don't think he's necessarily at the bottom of the division, but I don't think that he's definitely going to take the top spot there. So, like we always say, time will tell.
Tom, what do you say? Out of 5, 30 seconds.
Yeah, I went between 2.5, maybe 3 area. I think he could have did a little bit different style with the draft. Haven't seen anything happen yet. Like we said, he's got stuff going on outside of the league. So once he gets himself, signed up with the site and gets trade offers and things that people can, kind of get a feel for what's going on, maybe at that point, we'll see him actually start making some moves.
Well, I'm going to give him – I was contemplating a 3. I'm going to go down to a 2.5. I guess I'm going to go with the I'm going to go 2.5 on it. And here's my reasoning why. I almost grade him higher because I do think he helped himself long-term with his draft. There's at least 4 players in there that I think are going to long-term help his team. I do also think, though, that he kind of blew it on some of his other moves. But he made some good early signings, and he re-signed some players, made a great trade. So from that aspect, I think he's really helped himself. But, guys, believe it or not, we're out of time. So I do want to thank